Tell me about your remote healing abilities, Maureen, and how did you develop that skill?
Well, like everything else, by accident, to be truthful. When I was at Gateway, I kept hearing the other participants. I think I mentioned that there were a lot of healers in that program with me, and they were talking about doing healing and remote healing and on people and animals and so forth. And I knew that I had this cat, this dearly beloved cat named Sammy, who had kidney disease. And he had had kidney disease for about 4.5 years and was really failing badly. He was down to about half of his normal weight, and he was very, very frail when I went to the Gateway program. And on a whim, during one of the exercises where we were going into a meditative state, but it was a free-flow exercise so that we didn't have anything particular that we were supposed to do during that exercise, I said, geez, I wonder if I could do some healing on Sammy. That would be something I could get some evidence for that I could, you know, take back. And I didn't know how to do it. I had no clue what to do. I just had heard people talk about sending energy, and so I thought, well, what I will do is I will just envision that all of his organs and systems are functioning healthy and functioning perfectly. So I went into the altered state and tried to connect with him, imagined where he was, and I had this strong vision of him sleeping in the sun. Well, I thought, well, that's just imagination. Cats always sleep in the sun. I mean, that's what they do. That's their job. I said, okay, I'm just going to go with this. I imagine he's there in his favorite spot, sleeping in the sun. And I started sort of imagining his circulatory system and his lungs and his pulmonary system. And in each case, I tried to imagine what they look like and imagine that they were doing fine. And then I got to his kidneys, and the image I got was that they were shrunken and scarred and just icky looking, just not doing well. And I could, you know, the function of the kidneys is in part to filter the blood, get toxins out of the blood so that they can be collected in the bladder and then excreted. And I could see the blood coming into the kidneys, and it was dark and looked kind of toxic, like a polluted river. And when it left, it was almost as toxic. And so I imagined the kidneys being healthy and vital, and that the blood was flowing through and it would be filtered by the kidneys. And I just imagined them operating functionally. Now, the interesting thing was that while I was doing this for a period of, I don't know, probably 15 minutes during the exercise, maybe a little longer, I actually could feel my kidneys responding, and I could feel them doing something.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is, because I don't normally have much sense of my own personal internal organs. They sort of keep quiet, and they don't bother me, and I don't bother them.
Right.
But I had this real sensation in my own kidneys. And as soon as we came out, I had to literally dash to the bathroom. Now, what's interesting about that is that when you're at Gateway, they treat you, you become almost Pavlovian in that everything's done by gongs. They ring a gong, and every time they start an exercise, you go to your check unit where you're going to, you know, hear the signals over the headphones and go into the altered state, and you always go there by way of the bathroom. Because the worst thing in the world is to have to go to the bathroom in the middle of a meditative exercise. So you're trained to go to – so I'd been to the bathroom like 30 minutes before, and suddenly I had to go again. I thought, well, that's very odd. That never that never happened on any other exercise, just that one. So then I got back to San Diego, where I was living at the time, and took him in for the appointment that he was scheduled for. And the doctor, you know, told me right up front, just looking at him, that he was so thin and frail that it was time for me to let him go. He couldn't live more than just a couple more days, and, you know, wanted to know if she should put a stent in so I could give him fluids to keep him more comfortable, and it wouldn't do anything to prolong his life, and all of this. And I ask her the question. I said, well, you know, if you put the stent in, which is like a little needle in the back of his neck, that you then put a needle into that, and it's like an IV connector. And I said, well, if you put that in, what happens if Tinkerbell, one of my other cats, pulls it out when they're playing? And she looked at me with an absolutely blank expression on her face, and she said, he still plays? And I said, well, yeah, I mean, he's almost 10 years old, but so he's not a kitten anymore, yeah. But he plays. He said, well, does he eat? And I said, yeah, he's absolutely. He's the first one at the food bowl. And that had been confirmed that morning when I came back. You know, I put out the morning crunchies, and boom, there he was. And she says, well, is he drinking? I said, absolutely. I couldn't pass a faucet in the house without turning it on so he could get a drink of water. She was just blown away. And she says, well, whatever it is you're doing, keep on doing it. So for the next 4 or 5 months, 2 or 3 times a week, I would sit down and do this same visualization exercise. I had no idea what I was doing. I had no training in how to do healing. That was the only thing I knew to do, and it seemed to be keeping him healthy or at least active. Now, this went on for about 4 or 5 months, and the doctor had told me he would live 4 or 5 days.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then 4 or 5 months after I came back from Gateway, I sat down on a Sunday afternoon to do that same old thing that I had been doing, and it was as I tried to connect with him, and it was as if he slammed the door shut and wouldn't let me connect with him, and I got this mental conversation from him that said, it's time for me to go, you have to let me go now, I'm done. And for the rest of that day, every time I tried to connect with him, I got that exact same message from him.
A block almost, huh?
It was a block. It felt like a door had slammed in my face, and the message was extremely clear. It's time for me to go. I've stayed long enough. You have to let me go now. And finally, I made a bargain with him. I said, well, if, you know, Friday's my day off, if you still feel this way on Friday, I will take you in and let you go. And so that week, he took to sleeping in the linen closet. And when cats are become very seriously ill, they withdraw from you. So he was sleeping in the linen. He'd open the door of the linen closet and make a little nest for himself in the linen.
He just wanted to be left alone.
Until Thursday night. And that night, I must have awakened every hour. And every time I awoke, he was right there. He was sitting very upright. He was like on my chest, by my pillow, you know, on my hip, on my legs, right by my head. And every time I woke up, I could hear this very strong, powerful message saying, why are you delaying? You have to let me go. It's time to let me go.
Wow.
So the next day, it took all day for me to screw my courage up. I put him in and I took him to the vet.